exalted, to be praised, to be magnified, to be adored.
Lord,
thank you, mighty God. Blessed be your holy name. Jesus' most precious name we have prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Wow. I want to counsel somebody that if you missed yesterday night, please, as the audios are dropping, just download it. If you missed yesterday night, of course you have to get the first day. But yesterday, I believe the people who are here and were here yesterday could testify, because just so much happened yesterday, and yesterday was the beginning of a new declaration. Yesterday marked the beginning of something new, a new declaration and order. So please, if you missed yesterday, get the audios. And even for those present, you still have to get the audio to listen again. And that is why also today is going to be a continuation, not at the same level, but speaking further on from what had started yesterday. So please, if you missed yesterday or you were absent for any reason, let this register at the back of your mind or at the center of your heart and of your mind, that when the audios will be made ready, the second day should be a day you should not at any cost miss to get. Hallelujah. And the first day is equally important, but I just want to stress an emphasis on that particular day. Jesus is Lord. Let's go ahead. Let's appreciate God. Okay. Wow. Okay. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. We will see, we will praise. We will see, we will praise. Yesterday, we began to give a word about the ending part of yesterday. We saw how that it's the necessity of us meeting certain requirements and demand because of certain things that we play out. Remember, we said yesterday that one of the problems that the nations, Germany, experienced or suffered began from the events that played out during the world, the First World War and the Second World War, and the ending of the First World War, because of their heavy and aggressive involvement in the war. They were at the end of the day of the war when they declared armistice, because they saw that it was a hopeless situation, because they were already outnumbered because of the involvement of especially the United States into the war. They had to seek for peace, and they were sanctioned severely, and they suffered. After the end of the war, the nations of the earth were rearranged. As a matter of fact, the maps of Europe were rearranged, and countries like Poland, Luxembourg, and even Czech Republic, all of those countries were forced and reorganized out of the initial territory of the Germans. And not only that, their properties in foreign lands and even their colonies in places like in regions of the world in Africa and in distant eastern islands were forfeited to other countries. And a ban was put on them. That is, I say the ban, they were to pay for all the damages that was caused during the course of the war to the victorious nations. And this was arising in tunes of over five of hundreds of billions of dollars. And it wasn't like they were just going to pay. The interest was humongous. The interest of this fine levied on them was growing. So if the money is 500 billion to this year, by next year, even if you pay 50 billion, it may still jump to be like 650 billion. So it's more, it became more like of an insurmountable mountain. And not only that, limit was placed upon them on the development of their defense system, their military, their armed forces, and the acquisition of armaments and all artilleries, arsenals. So they were downcast, they were in depression, they were in abject poverty, they had lost everything. They didn't only lose the war, they lost their wealth, they were impoverished. And we have said that, we have thought this before, that in the period of crisis, there's malleability. It was in that kind of time that Adolf Hitler began to rise through the National Socialist Party, which is known outside of the German world as the Nazi, which is a short for National Socialism. When they joined, so Adolf Hitler began to rise, and he rose to be the leader of the party because of his charisma and other qualities. He began to speak to the German people and began to give them hope. He rose as a leader, the same way we saw that those people who were dejected and rejected, as the Bible revealed in the book of 1 Samuel, I think that's chapter 22, that those who were, verse 1, and those who were dejected and indebted and downcasted gathered themselves to David, and he became a captain over them. So the German people began to rally around him because he was a ray of hope. That's 1 Samuel 22, verse 1. And he became their leader. Strong, energetic person. If you listen to his speech like we said yesterday, power flowing out of it. When he rose to their destruction. They thought they had seen light. But remember the counsel of Jesus that said we should take heed that the light that we think we see is darkness. It will only be years after the Second World War that the Germans will really understand what the Nazi Party was and who Hitler as an individual is as a person. Recorded over 60 million lives lost, he single-handedly initiated the Second World War. Well, we may say that he had love for his country, but he was demonically motivated. You can say he had a love and a sentiment for his German people, but that was not enough. He was satanically inspired, and because there was no God in his heart, he only plunged them into further darkness. That is what happens when sons of God are supposed to arise and they don't possess the keys and something else gets in there. It leads to another crisis. And what happened was because there was no prophet speaking to the nation. The Bible says the purpose of the gift of prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and for comfort. The gift of prophecy ministers hope in a time of dejection, in the time of rejection, in the time of depression, and the time of despair. And so, rather than always giving judgments, the spirit of prophecy also gives hope and confidence. If you read the prophecy of Jeremiah, who will always give government judgments, prophecies of judgment, of doom, and of destruction against the Israelites, you will still see him comforting them, telling them that they should prosper, they should live and try to find purpose in the land that they are in, that their God is still with them, and that they should not feel that their God had forsaken them, that they will still return to their promised land. So they should pray for the peace of where they are, and they should prosper and flourish in that land. As a matter of fact, you see that he even bought a piece of land from his cousin. And God spoke to him through that prophetic action that land and properties will still be bought again in the land of Jerusalem, showing that they had not been forgotten. So, and it is true that you will see people like Daniel prospering in the foreign land, in the land of captivity. People like Mordecai are rising up to be second over the kingdom. So, but what if we had a prophetic voice that gathered the nation of Germany and began to speak hope to them, and was able to muster such a prophetic resistance against the rise of the Nazi Germany, and through the Spirit cast down their altars? Because of course the Nazi party obviously dabbled in occult. You could see their symbol, which is a swastika, and it's on its own is a demonic symbol. It's occultic in nature. It seeks to indicate the power of darkness. It's an occultic symbol, and deep records of Hitler shows that he befriended occultists, Satanists, and witches. People were practicing open witchcraft, and even referred to them as, some of them were like his godmother and mentors. You could see one of his pictures with a notable witch over there in the 20th century. He reviewed one of those witches from Europe that practiced witchcraft, occultism, and all that. So, but what if there were people that were apostolic voices and prophets, prophetic voices that could master so much gathering and so much spiritual momentum against the Nazi party and cast it down? There is that kind of authority available. God said to Jeremiah, I have set you this day over kingdoms. So God, you see, so you could see the word of God yesterday, and we told you that word was the Gentiles will come. He wasn't trying to quote the scripture to us per se, though that word in scripture, he's telling us, it's just like I say to you, maybe we have somebody like a mutual friend called James or what, and we are talking, and I say to you, James will come, or James will be coming. So that means you should expect the coming of James. So he said that the Gentiles will come. So he's saying to us that Gentiles will come. But that word is taken out of, that word can be further illuminated when we study scriptures. And the more insight into the word shows that the prophecy actually says, and even further, that the Gentiles will come to your light. Why would the Gentiles come to your light? It's because in verse 2, from verse 1 to 3, it has says that Darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. He said, and then but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And then the Gentiles will come to your light. That means the Gentile nations will, if they are not the people of God, they'll be part of the people, they'll be part of the number that darkness will cover. Because he said darkness will cover the earth first, and then gross deep darkness, the individuals, the people. So they will seek for light. And that was what the Germans felt they were, felt they had found in this man that had risen. But little did they know that the light which they saw was actually darkness, according to what Jesus had said. So Jesus said, the Gentiles will come. So I want us to take it personal the way it is to us, because it's speaking to us, to me, to you, that the Gentiles will come. The Gentiles will come. And this foundation tonight, these things we have said will set the foundation for what some things we are going to be saying. Father, we give you praise, my God. We're saying yesterday that this prophecy came as music. We're just before in the sight of God, before God, focusing on him. And then it just came the way, you know, the way a prophet or somebody would begin to foretell. The music just came. And it will not be the first time that we are receiving prophecies through music. So once it came, we identified that, wow, this is a word from God. This is not just a music. It's a word. And that operation is what is found in the book of Psalms and in the tabernacle of David. Because the book of Psalms are actually prophecies, but the book of Psalms are actually lyrics of music. They are song books, but those songs are not just songs, they were actually prophecies. And the psalmist that we are ministering in tabernacle, then they were prophesying. That's why they were recorded. You can see they were recorded and catalogued for generations to come. You will read through the Bible and even in the book of the New Testament, the Gospels, that they were continually quoting the Psalms of the prophets, David and the Asaphites and the sons of Korah and Ethan the Ezrahite. I hope you know that the man Moses has a psalm, the book of Psalm 90. Oh God, that has been our God from generations past. Teach us to number. I hope you know it's Moses that wrote that psalm. That is the psalm of Moses. We know. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that prophecy came through that song. I'm going to sing that song now. And yesterday I read out the song in words. Today we are going to sing the song. By the time we are done singing it and we have fulfilled that part, will now begin to talk to us. So let's lift up our hearts. Let's give God all the praise. My God. Glory to God. Wow, Father, we give you praise. God has got. Just hold on. There's a word that is about to emerge. There's something happening going on. Malapaka sukele brekete sukapakatia. Hallelujah. The Gentiles will come. Now, we were saying yesterday, because from what some of the things that we had said yesterday, one of the things that God has said to this network, one of the things that God has said to this network, and one of the mysteries given to this network is the nations. Clearly, if for those of us that were around for the first e-gathering we had in September of 2020, if you look from the second and the last day, we narrated a series of visions and the encounters that spoke about the nations. From the principal things and the major things that were revealed concerning this network and how this network emerged, it was actually for the sake of the nations. And that is true. This network emerged primarily for Lerusha Kata Prakata, primarily for nations, because we were able to see and sense the heartbeat of God for nations. Yes, and there's going to be an invasion of the nations, and this invasion is not the invasion of physical armies of nations of the earth against others. It's going to be the invasions of those sent ones from God, those who God sends to nations. And many of those sent will be invading nations. And some of you are raised in Nigeria here today, but some of you, God will take you to another nation so that you can disciple them and raise up their sons and daughters and raise their generations. The move of God in Nigeria is targeted to be fired out. So they are moves going on, and apostles are being raised, but these apostles will be sent outside to raise up generations in the nations. Because the generations of God have arisen. Sent ones will be sent into nations to raise up their generations. Like the apostle Paul was a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, but his calling was not to his own people. His calling was to people he didn't even know, the Gentile world, the heathen. So he would speak to people of other tongue. So you could see his epistle, a majority of his epistle is to Gentile world. Galatia, Colossae, Ephesus, Rome, Corinth, and to Gentiles. So that's why he said you would read the epistle in Romans, you see he talks about world without end. He said, having preached the gospel to the whole world, because the world at that time comprises of centrally, principally the Mediterranean area, the region that comprises about the Mediterranean world, which was principally Europe, where all the major civilizations of the world had arisen and dissolved, and others coming up to take their place. But Apostle Paul was raised a Jew, a Hebrew, brought up in the law, and then encountered God and was called an apostle and sent to Gentiles. There are people from here who will be sent to Gentiles. And you will discover that your own calling will take you outward to be in a land where you shall raise up, you shall restore the preserved of the Lord. The Bible speaks in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 49. And Isaiah 49 says, and I'm reading that to us now, it is a small thing, and this is a word. It is a small thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob's and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will give you as a light to the Gentiles. There's somebody here that God is saying to you that I'm going to give you as a light to the world, to this nation, to the European nation, to this country. He said, I will give you as a light to the nations. Other translations will say nations, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. There are people here that word is talking to now. That God, he said, I'm going to give you as a light to Asia. I'm going to give you as a light to the nations of Europe. I'm going to give you as a light to Africa. I'm going to give you as a light to America, to North America, to Southern America. I'm going to give you as a light to the Canadians. I'm going to give you as a light to the Japanese, to the Malaysians, to the Indonesians, to the Koreans. I'm going to give you as a light to the French. I'm going to give you as a light to the regions of Portugal. I'm going to give you as a light to the Spanish world. I'm going to give you as a light to the United Kingdom, to Britain, to Great Britain and its islands all about. I'm going to give you as a land, as a light to the Scottish race, to the Irish. I'm going to give you as a light. You know, in those days, the way people realized where God was sending them is because they had the gift of other tongues and they began to speak the language of a nation. And then they realized that this is where God is sending me to. There are some of you who will come with unwitty impartation to speak their language fluently. It's not going to be a normal operation. It's going to be a gift of God operating within you. You will find your mind just open to comprehend their language at another level. Because when Paul stood there to address the crowd that gathered against him in the insurrection in the book of Acts, he spoke to them in a Greek tongue. And when they saw that he spoke Greek, the Bible says, and the noise quelled, the ramblings and all the noise they were making, they settled to listen to him because he spoke their language. He didn't speak Hebrew. There are many of you that will be supernaturally equipped mentally to speak, to become bilingual or multilingual because of the calling of God that is coming upon you. And you will be surprised at the way you will be able to articulate the word French perfectly to teach the word of God, to instruct the word of God. Because one of the ways to be made one with the people is to speak their language. That is why when the reformers that is what the reformers understood. And they say the word of God will not be effective to the in the people if they do not have the word of God in their ordinary language. So instead of just having the scripture in Latin alone, the reformers took it upon themselves to start translating the word of God to the languages of the people, the ordinary men and women in quotes, so that the simple person could read the Bible, read the word of God, read the scriptures, understand. Over and against the agitations of the established authority as at that time, who were antagonistic to the assignment of the reformers, they understood the revelation from God that the doctrine of scriptures must be made accessible to the common man in the language they will understand. So these are the days, and these things are happening because it is part of the heart of the matter, the nations. The Gentiles will come to your light. We said yesterday that the scripture said that your light has come. What that tends to illustrate is that there is this arrangement of God, that there is a light for each generation that ushers them into the realm of glory that they will manifest. Because we said that the glory is revealed by the light of God. It is the light of God that makes the glory known, because the glory originally is concealed. That is why you see Moses said, "Show me your glory." Show. Mark that verb, that action word, show. Show means make it known to me. Show means it is not seen at the surface. Show means I can interact with it just by commonplace approach. Show means it is concealed away, it is filed away, it is archived. But it is only by light. And it, when we say light, it's not just that it's something flash on you. Light is used to define, or is used to refer to, the experience that occurs when there is an unveiling and a making known in your heart or in your spirit. Listen, when the encounter with light is spoken forthwith, it doesn't mean if a light flashed on you physically. The light is used to refer to the experience that occurs when the unveiling of God occurs inside of your heart and your spirit. That is what is referred to as light, because at that moment is the experience with light. Because it is only light that makes manifest. Paul speaking, he said, whatever is being rebuked is brought to the light, and whatever doth makes manifest is light. That is in the book of Ephesians. So that which makes manifest is light. Jesus speaking in the book of John, he said, this is the condemnation, that light has come, and men has rejected light and have chosen darkness because their deeds were evil, because they didn't want to come to the light so that their works would be exposed and then rebuked. So it is that unveiling and the making known that occurs deep in the recess of your heart, of your spirit, that further translates into an illumination that comes into your understanding. That is what is called the light. So it is not a dazzling on your face. It could follow, accompany it. But because that is not part of what have occurred, or it will be occurring with you, does not in any way negate the fact that you are having the experience of light, of illumination. And so
Moses said, show me your glory. In God, for something to take, it is light that makes manifest in God. Nothing else, no other arrangement. Darkness conceals, light reveals. Let me tell you, in one of the meetings, I began to say something. I said, it's not all darkness that you see are of the devil. Some darkness spoken with three scripture talks about that which is hidden. The Bible speaks concerning God in the book of Psalms. He said he made darkness his hiding place. It's not the darkness attached with evil. Rather, he's speaking to you a wisdom that this thing is hidden. Why the evil people choose to use darkness is because they want their works not to be known. But so when darkness sometimes is spoken with, it first primarily implies that this thing is obscured, it's not made known. But for a making known to occur, an unveiling to occur, it takes the assignment of the light. And that light is communicated by the word of God. That is why it is called the light of God's word. The psalmist says that the entrance of your word, it gives light. That light makes known. So, he said, they will come to your light. Arise, shine, your light has come. So we said, there is this light that God marks out that defines that a new generation has come because it's a declaration of a light. You say, and of course we say that there is coming a glory of God that is coming, assigned for a new people. But the glory of God is only revealed by light because glory in its default state is not made known. Jesus. It is the glory of God to conceal it. Please show me your glory. What the Bible says? It says, no man had seen God at any time. John chapter 1. But the only begotten Son of the, who was in the bosom of the Father, as he declared, as he made known, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you see that? So if we say yes, there is glory coming, and of course, and the glory is here, we're already in the, we are in it now. But that glory will be revealed by a light. Somebody say a light. It will be revealed by a light. Not just light, a light. The light of that glory. So it is having made contact and encounter with your own portion in that light, the scripture now says the Gentiles will come to your own light. Now listen. Your own light is the portion of that illumination that you had accessed, given to you. Mind you, the inheritance of the saints is given in light. Paul said he has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Are you listening? Are you listening to that? So,
yes, sir.
The apostle said to the Philippian church, in defense and in confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. My grace. He's not the author of grace. Jesus Christ is the author of grace. Jesus is the author of grace. That's why you see your benediction says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't see that part. The grace of our Lord is made to be the author, the source, the owner. But Paul will have the effrontery and will be bold enough to declare, my grace. Ye are partakers of my grace. That grace he's pointing out to us to be able to identify that it is not just partakers of grace generally. He was being more specific to identify that this grace of which I speak is the portion of the grace I have received from the Lord. So when I say my grace, you know, I'm not talking about just because there are diversities of grace in Jesus Christ, and it is even called the exceeding riches of his grace. That is unfathomable. So, but he was giving them a picture so that they could be able to recognize and come to apprehension of the grace he was speaking about. So he said, my grace. And there is the grace, the whole grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we cannot even see the borders or the end. Limitless, unbelievably. Unbelievably limitless. So, but he says, my grace. You are partakers of my grace, the one I have received from the Lord. The one the Lord I have received. So he comes further now. So having from that understanding, he said, your light, which like the apostle Paul, now we have that, arise, shine, your light has come. That is, it has been made available. And we gave the illustration of when they say supplies have come, your supplies have come. For those of you that went to boarding houses, you notice back then, several years ago, not everybody has had a borehole and a water supply plant. Water plant and all that. Water supply plant. So most of them had what we know as reservoirs. Right? So every morning, a water tanker will come and fill the reservoirs, and then students will go out to fetch. So if there are times when there is a delay, then students are not able to have a shower, maybe in the evening and within the day like that, or maybe on a Saturday, they not be able to have their shower, they may not be able to wash their uniforms, they cannot refresh, they cannot do wash their dishes and all that. So everybody, some things will be held at a standstill. Just like the way there was something, as if there was a pause. People were wondering what's happening. The prophecies were there, but why are they delaying? As if there was a pause. Where is the water tanker? It's coming. The prophet, so people may call the authorities now. Matron, what's happening? Say, okay, don't worry. The water tanker is coming. The way the prophets were kept prophesying that there is a glory coming. There is a glory coming. I hope this illustration is settling with us. It's making sense. The way so that matron will be prophesying to them. The water tanker is on its way. It's on its way. It's coming. It's close. The same way the prophets were prophesying, there's a glory coming. I see a glory coming. Right? So the students are just in the hostels, in the dormitories, and in the lodges, in the common room, they are just lurching around, just waiting because activities have been put at hold. At least activities that need water. And of course, every activity within the hostel does need that if you are not sleeping. You can't even sleep if you are hot, right? The whole place is hot. So then water just shows up and the tanker dries. And they say, your water has come. And then what? Everybody runs out with their own vessel. He say, your water, your supply has come. Your light has come. The light for you whole people have come. Then everybody runs out with their vessel. And then out of that supply, which is, you know, at first they say your water is everybody's water. But my God, when you give them your own keg or your jerrycan
and water is put inside, it becomes your water. It's not our water again. Do you get that?
Yes, sir.
It's your water generally, but when you bring your heart and it's put inside, it becomes your own. It becomes personal to you. Like Paul was saying, you are partakers of my grace. So if somebody comes to meet you morning and like, Matthew, please, can I have water? And then, please, can I have some of your water? You won't say our again. And then if you are going to tell a friend, you say, Matthew, James or Peter or whoever, Peter came to me or Roland came to me and I gave him some of my water. He was a partaker of your grace. So, when they say your light has come, the light of a whole generation, and this thing I'm saying, it's not like we are missing words. We are speaking from clarity, a point of clarity, though we are not making it known because some things have to still be kept sealed. So when they say your light has come, we talk about the whole light of a generation, and that light is linked to the glory. Mind you now, we have said that it is light that reveals glory, that manifests glory. Check out what the Bible now says. Arise, shine, your light has come. And then the next verse says, the glory of the Lord. Do you see? Is it to? I believe the very next verse begins to talk about the glory. Why? Because glory can only be revealed by light. It's not a means. Is this what this statement is? A revelation that came to me. It's a revelation that came that gave understanding. It is the light that reveals the glory. Because the glory is what is originally hidden. The assignment of light makes known. It is light. God, show me, show that verb. Let it stand out in your heart. Show me your glory. Not give me, show me first. Show. Because it's hidden. That's why Paul the Apostle will say that it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that has first of all shone or shined in our hearts to give us the revelation of the glory of God. There's the revelation of the glory. Paul said for that thing to happen, the light has to shine first. So he said, then we come to your light. So, have you any light? Do you have light that generations will come to? Do you have that kind of light? Not a flicker here and a flicker there. Do you have the light to illuminate a whole generation? Kalabakasikata. That nations we come to. So Jesus Christ said, the Gentiles will come. He's telling us to now begin to take this thing seriously. Let me say this, for all you who are lovers of Jesus Christ, there is a demand and a mandation upon you now. Because if you love Jesus Christ and you love the things of the Lord, you will prepare for what he has said and the things that he has ordained that will come. And he said that the Gentiles will come. So if you love Jesus Christ, you begin to pay attention to what should be done by the time the Gentiles will arrive. Let me say it again. If you love Jesus Christ, you have to pay attention so to be able to achieve and accomplish the purpose to which this utterance is being made, that the Gentiles will come. It's because there's something in his heart, there's a longing, there's something at the back of his mind. That's why he tells you the Gentiles will come. When they come, what will you do? That's a side question. What will you do? So it means, you know, that kind of statement that has something at the back of the mind, but the speaker expects that you should get it already because of a prior conversation that has occurred. Like, if somebody is supposed to come and pick something for your house, and I look at you and I said, and your dad looks at you and said, hey, don't forget, the delivery guy will be here. So, okay, sir.
You know what to do. When the delivery guy comes, you're either supposed to take something from him, receive something from him. The Gentiles will come. That's why you see we started to, the scriptures begin to play out to give you, he had already spoken it. Something is at the back of his head. So he had said it already. The Gentiles will come to your light. That one of the things, that thing at the back of his mind also, is the emphasis on your light. Your light. There's an emphasis on your light. The light of a whole generation has come. Alpha, have you any light? The light of a whole people has been declared, my God. Light revealing glory. Don't forget it. When I say light, don't see a flash on your face. Rather, see that which makes the glow, that which reveals the glory that has been spoken of. Arise, shine, thy light has come, and the glory has risen upon you. Light is what reveals the glory. And so when they say the light has come, they declare that the light of a generation has come. They have told you that the glory of a generation is now ready, because the light will disclose it. It will disclose it. It will make it known. Show me, Moses cried, your glory. Let the verb show stand out. Show. Those of you who, when you fill your passwords, your forms, or your website, or your applications, you will see hide, you will see show. When you click on the show, all your characters become visible. When you see hide, show. When you say, show me your glory, now you know the direct opposite.
Jesus, my Allah, Sekete Mahakaya. Shekete Keleprehendo Sakapayada. Jesus is Lord. Have you any light? Have you any light? So that is what will be happening from here. And let me tell you, this network is here. That is part of why you are here, to receive your illumination. Not in this meeting, on this network. To receive your illumination. To receive your illumination, because that is why you are here. To receive your illumination. Pastor sends light. Your illumination. Jesus is Lord. That is what the Gentiles will come to. It's not to just a singing voice alone. It is to your illumination. They will come, they will seek for light. And they will, where they see light, they will run to it. They will seek for light. Where they see light, they will run to it. There are some who have already arisen with the light of God upon them. There are some who have already arisen with the light, with the light, with the light. Let me tell you. Even your being here is a confirmation of this word. Because you have come to this light, to your light. Where they see light, they will run to it. This light emerging from this network today and over this period of years is said to go out across the whole earth. Watch.
is said to go out across the whole earth. Is said to go out across the whole earth. Is said to go out across the whole earth. The light that is imagined here is the light of generations. The light of generations. The light of generations. The light of generations. Jesus Christ has ordained it to be so. He set it so, and he said, this network, this one, this structure, this ministry, this servant, this messenger, this bearer of light will bear the light of the covenant across the nations of the earth. It is an ordination from heaven. It's a deep thing of the decisions of the kingdom. To you is a fountain of light. In your light, we see light. Jesus is Lord. So, the illumination is not just a flash. And this is where I'm going to trust God to see, to just close the curtain here. When the glory comes, he gives you details. It distills into tangible things. It gives you details. It feeds you. You come to apprehension. Is what transforms you. As we said before, and we've said it again and again, we'll say it now, that where there is new information, there is new ways of thinking, or new ways of thinking are born. And where there are new ways of thinking, innovation, transformation, and invention is born. New information always leads to new ways of thinking. And new ways of thinking leads to innovation, transformation, and invention. Information is what we call knowledge. And though we may be able to say, okay, there's a difference between knowledge and information. But at the end of the day, they are still traceable to the same root. Revelation is a kind of knowledge and it's a kind of information. Information is simply what is given to you. I have an information about something. Your source can be different. Revelation is a kind of knowledge. And all knowledge can still be referred to as information. Because information is the secular world's way, or the secular way of calling knowledge in the marketplace. They say we are in the information age. That's like saying we are in the knowledge-based age, an age that knowledge is a vital economic commodity. Let me say it again. Information is the secular way of calling knowledge. So when they say we are in the information age, we are in a knowledge-based age. Isn't it funny? They say the information communication. What do you communicate? You communicate messages. All messages are still information. And information at the end of the day is knowledge. When you encounter an information, it leaves you with a partition of knowledge. When you read information on a blog, when you leave that place, you don't see the pictures again. But you live with the partition of the knowledge. Information keeps knowledge like the container. It's like it keeps it, whatever knowledge it is. So, when that light unveils details to you, not just a vague mist in the air or a cloud that is just vague in the atmosphere. It unveils knowledge to you And in line with what we had earlier said, that knowledge is what we call a new information. That new information will change your way of thinking. As we said, it always leads to new ways of thinking. It is this kind of understanding that the Apostle Paul had when he said, "Be thou transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will not conform to the former ways or the things to conform to worldliness." The Apostle Paul, this revelation, though Apostle Paul will not use information and the modern age, but he was speaking in the same light. He said, "But be thou transformed by the renewal." He said there's a link between the renewal of your mind and the transformation of your life. And it terminates a certain kind of conformity. It puts an end to a kind of conformity. New information always leads to new ways of thinking. New ways of thinking will lead to innovation, transformation, and invention, which is creativity, creativeness. The glory we distill to details that we feed you with revelation, feed you with comprehension, feed you with assimilations, bringing you to levels of apprehension. And something will supernaturally alter in your mind. You were going this wise before, it changed you contrary wise, and it alters your mind totally, changing your life. You become a new individual and fully illuminated, full of light, grace, and truth. Let me tell you, some persons want to walk in the glory of God, beautiful, but if only you know how much work the glory has to do in you. When the glory comes, it's not just to just walk in it, it comes and starts working in you first. And let me say it again, when you receive an impartation of glory, the first thing it does is to start reconfiguring you, because you can't be the same man you were before the glory came. The glory comes to change you. That change is doing a work. Remember, we are with our veiled face beholding us in a glass the glory of the Lord. We are changed into the same image. So there's a changing that must happen. I know changing is work. You want to change something, even your phone, change what your apparel, what you are putting on, is a work you have to do. That glory will distill, give you details, so you can say you have light. Some persons, their light is still dim. Jesus said, "Nobody lights a light and puts it under a bushel." Some persons, their light is still dim. It's still dim. Some have not even yielded to the light properly. Some have not yielded. Some are still running with the old knowledge, the old wineskin, the old wineskin. They are trying to break through. Some, their light is still dim. Some don't even know anything about the light in the first place. They just think if they are going to church and they are just doing this and doing that, somehow, somewhere. Let me tell you, every great undertaking is sustained by a great understanding. Say it again. Every great undertaking is sustained by a great understanding. Say it again. Every great undertaking is sustained by a great understanding. So if you want something great, you can't just be doing it haywire, anywhere, the tummy faces. There's a pidgin translation for that. The people that grew up somewhere will know it. Jesus is Lord. So, it's time to pay attention. And it is the features of your destiny. Jesus Christ said, the Gentiles will come. We said the word of God came yesterday that what God makes available determines what is possible with you. let me tell you, in this generation and in this dispensation and in this age, you won't choose what you want. You can only make choices out of what is. If you go to a feast, like we said yesterday, they will ask you, "Hello, ma, hello, sir, what would you like to eat? Or what would you like to have for dinner?" Maybe it's a dinner. You can't say, "Give me sugar cane and what? And one food." He says, "Sorry, ma, we don't have that. But if there's any other thing you want, we'd like to know." And you say, "Okay, give me boiled mango." He says, "No, we don't have those kinds of things here." So, but the point is, you can't make a rant. When they say, "What would you like to have?" It's not a question you answer arbitrarily. It's, "What would you like to have out of what we already have for you?" Your choice is restricted. Your choice is closed. There are multiple options, but they are not unlimited. They may be numerous, but they are not innumerable. Listen, and let me say this. The state of being numerous is not the same thing as being innumerable. So the options may be a lot, but the choices are not unlimited. It can be enough. So you have to, so that if you proceed too much, they'll bring you the menu, and you have to only make decision from what, or make a choice from what they have given to you. The same thing with this generation. The work of God has been arranged. You can't come and say, "Lord, I don't want this. This is what." See, that one you are looking for is the former generation. We are not doing it like that again. This one, there is this year, there is this kind of work, this kind of work. We are giving you from this one. The other thing you are asking for is the past people that are doing that one and will be doing it. Unless you want to join their own banquet. But if you want to feast here, this is what we have. And one of those things in the menu is the nations. One of those things in the menu is the nations. It's part of what is principally top A-list of what's in the menu of Jesus Christ in this banquet. When he said, "Come into the feast, all things are ready." So it takes light. God, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus will give us grace forever. Go ahead, bless him. So that light, they said, the Gentiles will come to your own. It's not to our general light, all of us together. Yeah, that is the general light of the body of Christ. But your assignment will require that you encounter the light. And then you know what we have been seeing that is related to the light. And let that light further proceed to the unveiling of details. Have wisdom and have it properly, so that you can answer questions. You can be an answer and a solution to your world. Your light will come. Diverse light and graces. Father, we give you praise. Malaka shuka la brakata kalebrekete sekelebrekete kelebrekete kelebreketes. Father, we give you praise. We adore you. We worship you. The Gentiles will come to your light. I see people making new levels of shift, coming to another illumination. Some persons, this is bringing you to a level of understanding. That alone is a shift into what we are talking about. Don't hold, sustain it. Sustain this understanding. Sustain this impartation, and begin to explore in this dimension, so that you can break through. So that you can come to the reality of the things that we are talking about. So that you can come through. Like I said, you have come to the light also that is shining, that is speaking, and you are having experiences and impartations, like we are saying from the first day, that you should make connect with the Spirit, because that Spirit of grace is what makes all of this happen. We are not just, this is not just speaking from an arbitrary, we are speaking from the revelation of a generation, from that great light declared. From inside it we are speaking, out from it, that's where we are speaking. We are speaking in it, by it, according to it. Fellowship and keep people that are part of it, have the fellowship, the keepership, the heritage, speaking from it, speaking of it, by it. For many years, the word of God concerning you in this season will begin to play out. Father, we give you praise. We worship you. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' most precious name we come.